This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As our listeners to the Paracast know, when we begin to set up the broadcast, we briefly talk to our guest. Our guest this week is Trey Hudson. He's author of The Meadow Project, Explorations into the South Skinwalker Ranch. And we had a couple of things in common. Number one is Trey doesn't live far from a place where I used to live many years ago, when I had my first radio job at WPID Radio in Piedmont, Alabama. And this was really, really years ago. I mean, Trey was like a babe in arms. And the interesting story about that is simple. As people know, when you do radio, you are fired from your job more often than you're kept on. So here's how I was fired. I think I was doing a decent job. So the owner of the station, who was being manager, decided to hire a separate manager. And the manager then decided to hire his nephew, who needed a job. And here I am, newly married, my first radio job, and after one day's notice, I no longer have that radio job. But that is one remembrance of Piedmont, Alabama. The other is that we were talking about some of the similarities in our background, Trey and I, and I mentioned the word Brothers in Arms, which of course is the 1985 album from Dire Straits, one of the first albums to be recorded all in digital. Now, if you don't remember the album, Money for Nothing is the big hit record. The other, of course, is Walk of Life, which is actually a song that honors Chuck Berry, The Walk of Life, his duck walk. Randall had a lot to say because Randall's done some recording himself of music.
Yeah, been into music for a long time, since I was in my teens. And, you know, I remember when Brothers in Arms came out. I got the vinyl. It was awesome sounding, excellent production on it. But the CDs then just didn't seem as good. Now it's the other way around, I think, and the CDs tend to sound better, but everybody's going back to vinyl.
Well, here's part of the problem with early CDs. They used the LP production masters and just went to digital, and you don't do that. And the reason you don't do that is when you master a vinyl recording, you have to adapt the EQ or equalization to the limits of vinyl. If you have too much bass, of course, then the record might skip, things like that. I mean, literally speaking, my wife did a demo recording. We decided to press the vinyl, and the guy who did the mastering told me that he checked the sample on a $20 record player to make sure it didn't skip. By the way, the person who did it was a guy named Bob Ludwig, who's one of the most famous mastering engineers, not because of anything he did for us, but we all have heard of him. That's what they did. It could not skip. So they had to make adjustments. With digital, if you don't smooth the equalization, digital sounds harsh. Why are we talking about this? Okay, Trey Hudson, what got you involved in writing a book about the paranormal?
Oh, that's a great question. I've always been interested in the paranormal ever since, you know, you said I was a babe back in the day. When I was growing up in a very impressionable youth, there were several TV shows back in the 70s that dealt with, paranormal subject matter. One was the very, very good and very well-known In Search Of television show hosted by the legendary Leonard Nimoy. As an impressionable youth, as this was, coming on and just I was absorbing it like some sort of little maladaptive sponge, I was just intrigued by this stuff. You know, every time I saw a new episode, be it on cryptids or UFOs or missing persons or whatever, I just thought this was really, really neat. You know, it had mystery, it had adventure, it had the unknown. It really had everything. And there was also another show that came on during this time called Project UFO, which was a highly dramatized recounting of the famous Blue Book cases. And so, you know, I was, you know, an impressionable youth getting all of this stuff just dumped on me. And then you had the 70s were the absolute golden age of Bigfoot docudramas. You know, all of this stuff, you know, really, really set the spark into the paranormal. So I've had a healthy, inquisitive interest in this stuff ever since I was a very young boy.
Now, just for our listeners' reference, Project UFO was produced by Jack Webb.
Yep.
The creator of the police procedural with Dragnet. Every police procedural today that we see, Law and Order, SVU, even FBI, any of these shows, Chicago PD, they are all based to some degree on Dragnet, how things were done by Jack Webb. And Jack Webb was like amazing. He was producer, he was writer, he was director, he was star, and he had a real interest in UFOs.
Very much so. As a matter of fact, on the Project UFO opening sequence, Jack Webb actually narrates it on both seasons. So, you know, he was very interested in the subject and felt like it should get the attention and the respect that it deserved.
I have to ask you something about when you were watching In Search Of, if you remember the UFO episode. I've been searching for years trying to find somebody else that this may have happened to, but do you recall that episode being interrupted partway through by Leonard Nimoy saying that he had special footage of a UFO that he wanted to show the audience?
I do not recall that. However, I did just order from one of the major online retailers the complete series of In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy, so I will certainly investigate that as a good researcher would.
That, yeah, I'd really appreciate that if you happen to run across it, because I remember it happening when it aired, and I haven't been able to find anyone else who's seen that clip, because it came on and it said, we're interrupting the show to bring you a special segment featuring film footage of a UFO in and around an archaeological dig.
Oh, wow.
And this was crystal clear. It was black and white footage, but it was crystal clear on this. And it then all of a sudden the TV went to static, and the show was over, and I have not been able to find anyone else who's seen it. So if it happens to be in there, please let us know.
Oh, I will, definitely. Now you've got my interest, Pete.
This may be one of those Mandela Effect episodes where like remember things differently by whether the character Dolly in the movie Moonraker, Jaws' girlfriend, had regular teeth or braces. Speaking of bracing for things, okay, obviously we know the Skinwalker Ranch in Utah, an area where supposedly it's one of those portal areas or window areas where lots of things happened. What is the South's Skinwalker Ranch?
It is also an area, you know, an epicenter of high strangeness that we started investigating back earnestly in 2016. And we really kind of stumbled into this area because we were looking into just general folkloric anecdotal stories of, you know, cryptids in this area and so on and so forth. My background really is more of a paranormal investigator than a cryptid or ufologist. And once we started looking at this meadow, which was adjacent to an area that we were researching, and we thought, well, here's a nice meadow. It's very open. It's, you know, very remote. We're not going to be disturbed here. It would be a good place for us to set up our field research just because it was such a nice location. And then we started having all this epic high strangeness. And once I started cataloging this stuff, you know, as we came back from each expedition, I noticed, you know, we had reports of and sightings of UFOs, cryptids, strange beings or entities of light or energy, missing time, you know, unexplained phenomena, a mysterious, almost like a Men in Black kind of encounter. And I started stacking these events on top of one another. I thought, this area rivals the legendary Skinwalker Ranch.
Let me break it here. Okay. Now we're getting in there. Trey Hudson, author of Explorations into the South's Skinwalker Ranch. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
If you've been following the markets, then you know how huge the automation markets are becoming. Robotics, autonomous cars, and enterprise automation services are revolutionizing entire industries. The bottom line is that automation is powering the future. And you can find out which companies are leading the charge with your free subscription to AvidBiotech.Trends when you text the word trend to 48542. We've identified a cutting-edge company that's leading the industry in creating the next generation of robotics and automation. Get this cutting-edge intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device when you text the word trend to 48542. Get ahead of the curve on robotics and automation industry leaders with your free research from Biotech Stock Trends. Text the word trend to 48542. Text trend to 48542. Text the word trend to 48542.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, Trey, the 24-carat question here. Mm-hmm. Where is the South Skinwalker Ranch located?
Okay, I will need a verbal statement of non-disclosure from both of you, and there's a reason for that.
But all the listeners would have to sign it, too.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep the location as inviolate as possible. You know, we saw what happened with, you know, Skinwalker Ranch. Once that story started coming out in the mid-2000s, the owners of that property in Oneida County, Utah, you know, be it Bigelow or Brandon Fugel or whomever, they have to keep a large security force on site just to keep people off of it. And you have some people that would come in there and do serious research. You have some people that would come there looking for a cheap thrill. And you have some people that would come in trying to hoax everybody else. Keeping all of this in mind, I made a hard decision. And that decision was to try to keep this location as secret as possible. And that's not out of a lack of respect for anybody or me just trying to be cruel or mean, but it's trying to keep the site as inviolate as I can. So our research isn't tainted. You know, we're not harassed unnecessarily while we're doing our research, so we can continue to enjoy and be able to recount these amazing stories, hopefully for years to come.
Can you give us a rough idea, though? You know, what state it's in?
It is south of the Mason-Dixon line, and it is east of Arizona.
Okay.
Hence the South Skinwalker Ranch. I am not comfortable in giving the state. You know, folks are just going to have to, you know, understand my reasoning behind that. All of the locations in the books, the various names and road numbers and all of that are all changed. They're all fictitious names. The area that all of this happens, I call the Blackwater Nature Preserve, which is, once again, also fictitious. It is it is on public land, on a nature preserve or, you know, some sort of public forested area. But other than that, I'm not really comfortable disclosing anything else.
Okay, I was just wondering about that because, you know, we've got an advanced copy here, and, I mean, there are two different Blackwater preserves, so now everybody's just going to go there instead.
Yeah. That was a bit of a sleight of hand. You know, the locations in the book, like the Cold Springs Campground, Baskin's Hollow Hunt Camp, you know, Stevens Lake, all of those are fictitious names for, albeit real places. You know, the names are purely out of my imagination.
Now, there's a photograph I noticed in the book.
Mm-hmm.
On page 21, a color photo. Is that taken in the actual area?
You must have the digital copy. What is the photograph? And I'll tell you.
Okay, the picture, obviously page breaks are different in the digital version. Okay, right. This was the August 2012 hike. It shows a Jeep.
Yes, that was taken, that's my Jeep, and that was taken in an area where I first started researching strange stories, you know, from this region. You know, it's a region that has high strangeness, and the meadow, like I said before, is an epicenter. So this particular photograph was taken, on site. That's a real photograph. And if you notice the street sign, I have blurred out. But yeah, that is an actual place.
Of course, I assume someone who's an expert at geography might be able to infer some locations from this, but we're not going to take them any further down that rabbit hole.
Right.
Okay, so let's continue with the discovery. So this is a place that attracted all sorts of places. What made you decide then to get involved in the kind of research that would ultimately end up with a book?
Well, we started researching this region, this area, you know, the bigger picture. And the photograph that you're referring to in the book with my Jeep was on what had been explained to me, and I had someone relay it to me as a haunted road, you know, as a road that, you know, the locals say, oh, don't ever go down there at night. You know, you'll have all kinds of, you know, specters, you know, come out of the woods and harass you and all of that. And of course, you know, that's like waving a red flag in front of a bull with me. I'm like, okay, well, I've got to go there. And how this all kind of broke down was very interesting. We had set up at a campsite, a remote campsite, and in the book I refer to it as the Cold Springs Campground. And this particular road, haunted road, was about 30 miles south of the campsite where we had set up base of operations.
Okay, go on, please.
While we were out, we had gone into an area to research this haunted road, and we thought maybe it was tied in with some of the stories of Bigfoot and the reports of cryptids in the area. And my research partner and I, we're on this very remote road, and we heard a quail whistle, you know, a Bob White whistle. at high elevation in the wintertime. And we thought, well, this, you know, has to be something anomalous. You know, quail are a lowland bird, not a bird that lives at high altitude, and certainly wouldn't be active during the wintertime. And so we were very excited about this. And once we started to return back to our campsite, you know, 30 miles to the north, we got on our radio and were able to hit a repeater and talk back to base camp. And our base camp operator told us that he had a remarkable story to tell us. So we, you know, we're intrigued. We were wondering what the remarkable, you know, event was that he needed to tell us, tell us about was. And when we got there, he relayed a story to us. And this really cemented this location as an epicenter of high strangeness. He said that while we were out there doing our research many miles away, he had drank coffee and all on the cold, you know, cold evening and felt the need to go relieve himself and had stepped out behind the camp. And I'll paint a picture for everybody. It was a very dark night, overcast, rainy, and cold. You know, one of those just icky kind of nights. So he's taking care of his business, gets done, and he's kind of looking out, you know, through the woods, and he sees the moon come up, or the moon appear, you know, a white glowing orb. And he's thinking to himself, well, great, I can see the full moon now. That must mean the clouds have cleared off. The weather is going to be much better. Maybe we'll have a nice, bright, dry evening. And he was, you know, rather pleased with that. And then much to his chagrin, the moon started moving to his left. Now, in most parts of the world that I've been, the moon doesn't move sideways. You know, so this really got his attention. So the moon moved, you know, several degrees, you know, to his left and stopped. And while he's watching this, he notices a small pinprick appear right in the middle of this luminous orb. And this pinprick started growing larger and larger and larger, almost like the iris of a camera, until he was finally left with a white circle or glowing circle, much like the necklace of diamonds effect during an eclipse. And eventually that winked out. Prior to this, he had seen a beam of light shoot down and hit the ground prior to him seeing this orb. Now, he was thinking that this was lightning, but for some reason it didn't emit any kind of thunder.
So the book is called The Metal Project, Explorations into the South Skinwalker Ranch. The author with us is Trey Hudson. The foreword to the book was written by Angelia Shear. She's MUFON's 2019 Field Investigator of the Year. And by the way, Trey will be back on this weekend's edition of After the Paracast. That show only available if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Go to theparacast.plus for more information. With Gene and Randall, you're in
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas announced Saturday that FEMA will begin to assist with housing the influx of unaccompanied minors at the southern border. In a statement, Mayorkas said that a Border Patrol facility is no place for a child and that FEMA would work to receive, shelter, and transfer unaccompanied minors until their immigration case can be processed. The Secretary's directive is for the next 90 days as border agencies deal with a record number of illegal border crossings, many of them being unaccompanied minors. Representative John Katko says adding those responsibilities to FEMA will take away resources from their vaccination efforts. The New York Republican tells Fox News that the order could impact many Americans.
That crisis was created by Biden's executive order, so there's no doubt the disorder at the border was by executive order, and now they're peeling away precious resources from FEMA. And American citizens who need to get have their vaccines and get the personal protective equipment and everything may be going to suffer because of the lack of attention.
This is USA Radio News. The FDA is warning of false positives with COVID testing.
The Food and Drug Administration issued the warning on Friday to facilities using Roche Diagnostics' COBUS test. The system is widely used to screen large batches of test samples in hospitals and laboratories for both the coronavirus and flu. The agency warns that problems with the test's processing tubes could result in a false diagnosis and urge healthcare workers to run samples through multiple times to assure accuracy. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
And Italy is set to begin a new round of lockdowns a year after the coronavirus first hit the nation. The government says it's trying to contain a new surge in cases fueled by new, more contagious variants. On Saturday, the country recorded more than 26,000 new coronavirus cases. In half of Italy's 20 regions, new restrictions begin on Monday, with non-essential shops closed and people allowed to leave their homes only for work or health reasons. The entire country will go under those restrictions over the Easter weekend. This is USA Radio News.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Trey Hudson joining us, and he will be hanging out for after the Paracast, too. We're talking about the South Skinwalker Ranch, and his first discoveries is something weird. The game was afoot. Trey, let's continue with that description of that strange thing that was being seen.
Oh, absolutely, the game was afoot. I mean, it was not only a game was afoot, it was 2 feet, you know. The game was afeet. And we had this strange orb appearing at our base camp, which really, really, really obviously intrigued us. And the rest of the weekend was uneventful. We had set up several remote campsites to see, you know, if we could detect anything or find anything. And once again, we were kind of focusing on a sort of cryptid angle. And while we were there, we noticed that there was a large field, which would be a very good place for us to do our research. You know, it was open and, like I said earlier, you know, remote, and would be a good place for us to set up some nighttime operations. That was January of 2016, and we decided to return in July of that year, July of 2016. And we started really focusing on this field. We thought perhaps if there was, you know, any cryptid activity, we could see maybe, you know, footprints in the field or compressed vegetation or anything like that. So we thought it would be really cool to focus on this meadow. At this point, the meadow was with a lowercase m, and eventually becomes the meadow with a uppercase M, and the listeners will understand why I call it the meadow. We decided that evening in 2016 on the weekend that we were visiting it to conduct nighttime operations. And what we decided to do was to set up several teams in the meadow, in this large field. Each team would be equipped with a radio, and several teams were equipped with FLIR thermal scopes, so they could see heat signatures of various things out in the forest. Our idea was, having these teams set up in the field, we were going to have a single ridge runner, a gentleman walk along the top of a ridge, which is just to the south of the meadow, and if there was anything there, either he could A, see it from his higher vantage point, or B, possibly drive it down into the meadow below that we could capture with our equipment. So we set up in the meadow, and we're waiting for our gentleman who was going to walk the ridge to start his action traversing the ridge. And he came on the radio and he said, "Hey guys, something just happened." And of course we were, you know, very curious, and we said, "You know, well, what's going on?" He said, "I reached X, which was a well-known landmark, you know, there in that area." He says, "I reached this landmark, and I don't remember how I got here." We were obviously concerned for his health. You know, we have several paramedics on our team, and they said, "You know, do you have bilateral feeling in, you know, both of your hands, or is anything numb? You know, can you grimace? Are you dizzy? Do you have a headache, etc.?" Thinking that maybe he had an aneurysm, stroke, or some other, you know, neurological condition. And he said, "No, I'm fine. I feel okay. I just don't remember how I got here." Most of the folks on our team are very type A kind of folks. You know, we want to get the mission done. We want to continue with what we're doing. So he said, "I'm fine. Just let me go ahead and walk this ridge. We'll go ahead and continue with what our objectives were this evening." So he walked along the top of the ridge to no avail. Nothing really happened. It was very quiet. He dropped down off the ridge into the west end of the meadow and started moving east. At this time, one of our teams picked him up on their FLIR scope, their FLIR monocular. They could see his heat signature, man-shaped heatness signature, walking across the meadow heading towards them. And as they're watching him on their monocular, they see his heat signature change from a man-shaped figure to a sphere or ball or energy or some sort of heat signature that's round in nature, and move across the meadow at a very high speed, and we estimated it to be at about 25 miles an hour, and then stop and turn back into a man-shaped figure, heat signature. So they quickly got on the radio and asked this gentleman, whose name was Bob, they said, "Bob, are you okay?" And as they're watching him through their FLIR, they see him, you know, the heat signature pick up his radio and respond, "Yes, I'm fine. Why?" And they said, "Maybe you should come over here and let's talk about it." So Bob meandered back over to the team and, you know, said, "What's up?" I'm going to pause here and tell you about these two team members that witnessed this. One team member has a degree from the Georgia Institute of Technology, Georgia Tech, has a master's degree, and has been a lifelong paramedic. So a very solid, feet-on-the-ground kind of guy. His fellow team member also had a degree from Georgia Tech in physics with a dual degree in philosophy, and was a former U.S. Army Ranger that served in the Ranger Regiment. So two really solid, no-nonsense kind of guys. So they started explaining to Bob what they had seen. "You know, we saw you turn into a sphere of energy and move several miles per hour and then turn back into yourself." Bob said, "I have no idea what you're talking about. All I know is I was just walking along the field coming to you. Nothing was out of the ordinary." But these two gentlemen observed it. So, you know, we wonder, even to this day, whose perception was altered? Was it the fellow who was walking and was witnessed turning into a ball of energy? Or was the perception of the observers what was changed? Who had the weird thing happen to them, the observers or the subject? So to this day, we really don't even have the answer to that question. That's just one of many.
A couple of quick questions here.
Sure.
While we're going through this, so this place that you're calling the meadow, it's more of a region. There is a meadow, like a specific place you're calling the epicenter, which is in a region that was already known for having some paranormal activity, right?
Correct.
Okay, right. And so then you guys all decide to go out and investigate further. So you're prepared to have a closer look at this. One of your guys sees this glowing moon-like orb. Did he get a picture of it or anything?
Well, no. Like I said, he was had drank a lot of coffee that evening and was back behind the camp taking care of some natural business. and one usually doesn't have a camera with them. When they do that, with some people do, but that would be a little weird. But so he didn't have a camera with him, you know, and he was just so mesmerized by this. He just stood there in awe, you know, watching this orb, you know, move across the sky. And it's one of those kind of things, you know, do I break off the observation, go get my camera, and then come back and hope that it's still there? Or do I just stand here and watch it and try to recount as much information as possible and be a good witness? So that's, you know, that's kind of a judgment thing. But no, he did not get any photograph or video of the orb.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, it's just that if you're out investigating, you know, you'd think people would be prepared and have a camera with them. I could see the average person not having a camera with them. Actually, I could see the average person having their cell phone with them at all times, at least a cell phone. But, you know, if you're specifically investigating something, you'd think you'd be ready to get that picture, right? But right, anyway.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And the whole issue was we were not expecting anything to happen at base camp. You know, base camp was just base camp. It was somewhere to park our gear. And, you know, the action would happen while we were off investigating somewhere else. Well, we were absolutely wrong on that. And, you know, I've been on many, many, many investigations before, not only just here, but other places. And a lot of times the things happen so fast that you're not able to get it photographed, or you're not keeping your equipment running, because as it runs and records, A, you're eating up storage space, which you could run out of storage space and something interesting happen once you've done that, but you would be out of luck, or you run your battery down.
We've heard this kind of thing quite a few times from people who are very experienced and have gone out and seen things, and they were so mesmerized by their experience.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That they just completely, you know, they just didn't take the picture. And, you know, for the skeptics, and we have to be a little bit skeptical here, sure, you know, because they're going to ask these kind of questions. Then there's the whole idea of just the secrecy of the place. Like,
right,
they're going to say, well, how do we know you guys weren't out there and you're just making all this up so that you can, you know, maybe write a book and so on? Like how is there any way that someone who is really genuinely interested in this would be able to get a hold of you guys?
Let's break it here. More to come with Trey, Gene, and Randall. You're in the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Thank you. Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
So before we end our previous segment featuring Trey Hudson, author of The Metal Project, Explorations into the South Skinwalker Ranch, Randall asks a telltale question, since the actual location of this place is being kept a secret. Do you want to pick up on that, Randall?
Yeah, because we hear quite a bit about some of these places where people, you know, they claim these things are happening, and then the next thing you know, they're doing these private tours, and then they're making money off that, and so the skeptics are like, well, you know, are these guys for real or not? So suppose a serious researcher wanted to join you guys on having a look at this place. Would you guys be open to that?
Absolutely. We've had guest researchers before. As recently as last month, the middle part of February, we had two guest researchers come with us. The only thing is I need to talk to them to make sure they are serious researchers, and they need to sign a non-disclosure statement about the exact location. The only thing that I ask from my fellow researchers, and I've had researchers from out of state that have had just, absolutely phenomenal encounters, is they don't disclose the location. As far as the actual events and the experience, that's fair game. You know, I want that to be talked about. So we have a stack of affidavits from individuals that have had these experiences. They are individuals from various states, various places, various backgrounds. And if you start drilling down into the background of my primary team members, you know, my background is, I think, pretty solid. We have, you know, people in the medical field. We have former law enforcement officers. We have former folks from special operations community. We have a young lady who is an emergency room nurse. So the thing that makes this unique, in my opinion, is not only the strangeness of the experiences, but the quality of the experiencers. Is these are very solid, down-to-earth, professional people experiencing some absolutely remarkable events.
Interesting. And you didn't charge these people any kind of a fee to take them up there or anything like
that? Yeah, no, absolutely not.
And that in itself is fairly impressive because you know that there are certain individuals, which will go unnamed here, that do that sort of thing. But, I mean, if you guys are doing this and you're not even really making any money off it, I think that tends to lend some credibility to your efforts.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, we are self-funded. And I'll give you an example. We have all have a series of FLIR units, which are personally bought. Night vision cameras, which once again are personally bought. We have two Psionics color night vision cameras, which are once again personally bought. So yeah, we're actually losing money on this endeavor versus making it.
Now, the FLIR unit you were talking about, do they have the ability to record within them? Okay. So did you guys get this this transformation of your team member into the ball of light on the recording?
Unfortunately not. It's one of those things. Once again, you know, you can't keep the equipment running all the time because you'll eat up your storage space and run the battery down. When the individual, the team member, Daryl was his name, when he brought the FLIR unit up, he's just watching one of his fellow researchers walk across, you know, this field. You know, nothing out of the ordinary. He's just saying, okay, there's my other team member. I want to have visibility on him. I want to know where he's at. And then he just turns into this ball of energy and scoots across the field and then turns back into a human being. It just happened so fast and was so bizarre and caused such a degree of concern over our team member. Once again, like you mentioned it, sometimes you're just so mesmerized you forget to hit record, or you have a case where the shock of it causes your hands to turn into giant flippers and you can't hit those small buttons.
And so when he rematerialized back into his normal self, and then he approached you from the location, or did you approach him? Or
he approached my two team members, Daryl and Tim. He moved to them, and they started explaining, you know, what they had witnessed. And, you know, the subject, Bob, said, I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary.
So, in other words, this ball of light then rematerializes into your team member, and he comes to you from that location. Because here's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. At first, well, maybe some other phenomena came along and kind of blocked him out and then went on, you know, just made it look like he had morphed into this ball. But, I mean, if that's the case, then he would not have approached you from where that ball had
terminated.
Stopped. Exactly. So, I mean, this is sounding – okay, right. So what did you guys think about this at that point then?
Well, you know, we were a little concerned, you know, obviously. Absolutely amazed and intrigued. You know, this is something that's absolutely phenomenal that's happening at this location. Is it – you know, like I talked about before, you know, whose perception was changed? Was it the observer? Was it the subject? What's special about this place? So, you know, we decided that we would continue to investigate this this area. The rest of the evening went by without any kind of strangeness or anything else, you know, kind of quiet. And the next morning, as we were all preparing our breakfasts and gathering around and talking and discussing things among ourselves, Bob came up to us, and he had a GPS. Now, to give you a little bit of background on Bob, he served a number of years in law enforcement, a retired law enforcement officer. He also spent many of those years working extreme backcountry search and rescue in California, you know, the kind of things where they would helicopter him in with a search dog, drop him off, and they would search for missing persons and things like that, and then helicopter the victim out, and he would have to make his way back on foot with his dog. So he's a superbly skilled woodsman, you know, has been in some very hairy situations before in extreme wilderness. One of the things that Bob does is on his GPS unit, he always records what they call breadcrumbs or his track. So his GPS is continuously recording his location so he can go back and look at where he's been at a later time. So Bob came to us that morning with his GPS, and he goes, I want to show you something. I just pulled up the data on the tracks that I was on last night. And he pulls it up, and he zooms it, zooms it out to where he has a much larger field of view on his map on his GPS. And what it shows was several straight lines, 2 to 4 kilometers in length. That supposedly was his track. Now, the crazy thing is you can't move in a straight line over this terrain. It's impossible. It's too rugged. So the only way that Bob could have moved in a straight line, or his GPS moved in a straight line, is if he was in the air.
That sounds very interesting. Going back to the previous one where your team member turned into the ball of light, you were saying that he seemed to speed up.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, through a flare, if a person's got a small light source and they're shining it in your direction, that might, you know, cause that kind of an effect, but it wouldn't cause them to speed up to the point. Now, you were saying he could not have covered the ground.
No, in the amount
of time either. So, okay. So we've got some rather interesting and not easily explained phenomena happening here.
Right. And, you know, something you mentioned about a headlamp, most of our headlamps are now LED. They don't put out heat. So it's not going to register on a flare. Flares measure heat, not light.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I suppose still a person could, you know, a person might have something that would give off that.
Right.
That doesn't explain why they would be moving faster than they would normally be able to run.
Right.
Either. So, you know, unless you guys were just like thinking, oh, you know, it happened and it looked odd and your measurements were off. But you guys all sound a little bit more experienced than to be able to make that kind of a mistake.
Right. It was, you know, when we figured out the distance and the amount of time that he, you know, covered this distance, we calculated it to be about 25 miles an hour. Even the most world-class and seasoned athlete could not move over that terrain at 25 miles an hour. You know, it's just not humanly possible.
Okay, so now you guys, and this is your sort of first impressions of this area. You've been back several times since?
Oh, many, many times.
So let's continue with the story.
Before we do that, we're going to have to break. Trey Hudson's with us. We're looking at the South Skinwalker Ranch. Trivia, guys. I don't know if any of you ever heard the name Lou Ottens, a Dutch inventor who died this week at the age of 94. Never heard of him? He invented the tape cassette, and he supervised the team that developed the compact disc. Talk about trivia. More with Gene, Randall, and Trey. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.